Finding this podcast magical? Why not toss a coin to your Witches and a Druid podcast through the Acast supporter feature? It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to show your support now.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Welcome to Three Witches and a Druid podcast, a Canadian podcast about paganism in today's modern society.
Now, Three Witches and a Druid podcast present Samuel J. Lawson.
In the merry month of May, from the home started, left the girls of day, nearly broken hearted, saluted father dear. Kiss me, darling mother, drink a pint of beer, my grief and tears to smother. Off to reap the corn, leave where I was born, cut the stout black thorn to banish ghost and goblin. A brand new pair of brogues have rattled all the bogs and frightened all the dogs on the rocky road to Dublin. It 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, hump the hare and turn it down the rocky road, and all the way to Dublin and whack for all there are. And Mullingar that night arrested limbs aware, he started by daylight. Next morning bright and air, he took a drop of the pure. Keep me half from sinking, that's in Paddy's cure, whenever he's on for drinking. See the lassie smile, laughing all the while, at the curious smile, would set your heart to bubbling. They asked if I were hired, wages I required, and I was almost tired. All the rocky road to Dublin in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, up ahead and turn it down the rocky road, and all the way to Dublin and back for all there are. From there I got away, my spirits never failing, landed on the quay, just as the ship was sailing, the captain at me roared, said that no room had he when I jumped on board. Cabin fine for Paddy, down among the pigs, I played some funny rigs, I danced some hearty jigs, the water ran me bubbling, went off to Holyhead, I wished myself were dead, or better far instead, on the rocky road to Dublin, at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, up the herring town, down the rocky road, and all the way to Dublin, and whack for Lollyra. Landed, called myself a fool, I could no longer stand it, me blood began to boil, temper I was losing, poor old Erin's Isle, they began abusing, hurrah, me souls as I shall lay, I let fly some Galway boys came by, and so I was a hobbling, and with a loud hooray, they joined in the fray, we quickly cleared the way, for the rocky road to Dublin, at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, hop the hare and turn it down the rocky road, and all the way to Dublin, at whack for all derar.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Three Witches and a Druid, where we sit around with our hot apple cider and rum.
The rum is from Compass Distillery.
Oh, local rum.
It's your daily ration.
And the thing is, mind you, it will have snowed by the time this airs, but here
well, Hold up. It may not have.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there's no snow in the forecast.
I thought it was Friday.
Anyways, it's going to be
a teeny bit.
Yeah. Anyways, I'm so happy because I left Winnipeg for this exact reason. So even though we're having warm hot toddies or whatever this is called, there's no snow outside.
But damp. It's been misty and rainy and damp for weeks.
It's 8 degrees.
It's still damp.
I'm not complaining.
You don't have to shovel damp.
Yeah.
You know what? I got someone who shovels.
Well,
truthfully, I would rather it was minus 15 and 2 feet of snow and sunny than this foolishness. I don't care if it's above zero. It's so damp and miserable, and I ache from head to toe. There we are. That's my cut in.
So anyway, I'm Margot.
And I'm Maeve.
Gwen.
And I'm Brian. So this first episode of recording tonight was suggested to us by a Patreon member, and they would like us to just discuss health, body, sickness, and possibly the menstruation cycle and its affiliation with our spiritual path, paganism, witchiness, all of that loveliness.
That's a very cool topic. That was a great suggestion.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So yeah, no, it's not just the menstrual cycle.
No. But I mean, like, that's
an A, B, and C topic.
Yeah, but still, the spiritual health, and using that. Here's me going through anemia right now, even though I don't have my period anymore. But yeah,
is that a point of celebration? I assume so.
For me, it really is, because I didn't want kids. I never wanted kids. It was just an annoying inconvenience that had no purpose in my life. So I'm quite glad that it's over. Although we were discussing earlier about camping and menstruation. I said I hadn't had a period for like 2 years. And I met up an old high school friend in PEI to go camping. And boom, there it was.
Period.
You go camping, you get your period. It's just how it is.
You guys know that, like, I'm sure you know, but like when you're on birth control, having your period is a religious thing, right?
I don't know what you mean.
So when they first came out with birth control, you didn't have your period. You didn't have anything. And the Vatican Church would not approve of it unless you had your period. So
They still don't approve of birth control.
No, they don't. But they more approve of it because you have your period.
Because they want us to suffer.
They want you to suffer.
Do you know that there was no mention anywhere in the Catholic Church of birth control until, 1887? Because they noticed their numbers were going down. Because I'm sure there were folk remedies. So that's when they banned birth control. Before then, they didn't.
Well, I mean, the same with the... Now, I know I'm going to say this incorrectly. A memagogue, I think is what it is. A mixture of herbs that will bring your period on.
Yes.
Which I had done herbal class way back at Little Mysteries, and one of the things she had taught us how to make was bleed tea.
Yeah.
And I remember our friend Rhonda before the gathering one year phoned and said, my period's gonna come at the gathering, I don't want it to, can you make me some of your bleed tea, you know? And I was like, I'm not sure if it's gonna work, I've never actually used it before, I only know this in theory. And 2 days later she phoned me and she's like, this is the weirdest phone call I've ever made in my life because it worked. So she was all like, it was like a week and a half before it was supposed to come, but it brought it on early. She was all done by the time the gathering came around, and she was all good.
Sounds like sort of an original morning after pill.
It kind of, sort of. Yeah.
Like, and I it was that, very accessible herbs.
Yes. Very accessible herbs.
And very safe.
Yep. Yep.
That's really nice.
Yeah.
Because that morning after pill is, from what I understand, I've never taken it, but I've heard of many girls doing it. It's a bit of a shock to the system.
Well, and here it's just fine, but there are places south of our border in the States where that's illegal now.
I know.
So there are alternatives that are very safe.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
And so we're putting together a grimoire for the Grove. Now I need your recipe for bleed tea.
Sure, yeah. We'll see if I can track it down.
Yeah, so when the apocalypse hits,
yes,
we'll have it written down.
Yes, right. It's important. Because again, yes, easily accessible, easy to grow herbs, like nothing weird or, you know.
That strange thing you have to...
Yeah, go forward, forage in the forest under a sickle moon on the Tuesday.
or have to go to 7 stores to maybe find it or something crazy if you're not going to forage. Wow.
So, yeah, the conversation they would like us to have is about how...
Good luck. Good luck. Nobody's managed to corral us yet. No. So
it is about healthiness and body and such in our spirituality. Now, I'm, being a druid, am a strong believer in science. You have cancer. Paganism is not going to cure your cancer.
Something I always told customers at Little Mysteries was that whatever the situation is, you have to also do the mundane work.
Yes.
Whether it was job hunting, studying for an exam, your health, you still have to put in the work on this plane in order for anything magical to also be able to happen.
Right. But I am a strong believer in a placebo effect, and if crystals make you feel better, so be it.
Yeah.
They're not going to cure your cancer, but if they make you feel better, I fully support it.
Well,
I,
if you feel better, you can have a stronger immune system and a stronger immune system.
Exactly.
Everything. There's a reason why we call them complementary health.
Right.
Yeah, and I mean, and I also cannot tell you how many women who were having trouble conceiving would come into Little Mysteries and buy a geode and put it under the bed. And we should have had a wall of photographs on in the store.
That actually would have been amazing.
Then, you know, the number of times women came back and said, it worked, it worked.
Right.
So
now, is that because the geode is under the bed and they're less stressed?
I suspect
that. Or maybe they just
they're giving the power and the stress over to the geode.
Yeah.
So they no longer have to hang on to that stress. And then perhaps... you know, prevent things from happening in the natural way that they would happen.
Right.
How many times have you heard of people who tried for years, couldn't have children, adopted, and then within the year were pregnant?
My
that happened so many times.
On my mom's side, that's exactly
what happened.
I've
heard of so many people like that, just because the tension's
gone.
Away.
Yeah.
And I mean, if you are sick, you know, say you're, you know, have cancer and you're having treatment, you know, if a crystal helps you feel less nauseous or just helps you feel a little braver, to face what you have to do, you know, that can be a relief for you.
And there's no shame in that. Like, we don't have to apologize for that.
No.
I don't think.
No.
You know, like, I think that people would, a lot of allopathic medicine, the results from the drug trials and stuff are often very marginal. You just feel, you know, they have that much marginal success. Sometimes it just is on par with placebo effect. So if carrying a crystal or any other small ritualistic type practice increases that by changing your mood and your immune system and everything else.
And I think it is becoming a little more mainstream, because that course that I had done through Community Health on
compassion.
That's it. Self-compassion, which kind of went out the window for me. Like, I've had a little bit of a relapse, but I'm coming back. One of the practices, we were to bring in a crystal or a stone or a rock. So for our mainstream health providers here in Canada to bring that forth as a practice, I think it is showing how much people are realizing that these things do have benefit in the real world.
Right.
Yeah.
And along those lines, especially in today's modern society, get vaccinated. Go get your flu shot.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Like, you believing that the stars are going to align is not going to save you from COVID. It's not going to save you from the deadly fucking flu that we have going around.
Yes. And the bad cold.
Yeah. It's more, it's just like you said, you have to do the mundane work for anything magical to happen whatsoever.
Yeah, and take your cod liver oil right now.
Yes.
Yeah. And flu season.
Now, at the same time, like, kind of back to the herbalism thing, I think it was last year, we made fire cider, fire water. You ever had that?
No.
So it's this concoction you make, you leave it on top of your fridge or somewhere dark, and it burns. It burns everything. And you're supposed to take, like, a shot a day, and it prevents the cold. And I'm sure it does, because, holy shit, it burned everything. I'll post a recipe for it, but it was amazing. And it's something we should actually probably do this winter, but it's something that needs to ferment in the shadows in your home, and it's just full of spice. Oh, my God.
It's kind of like the old Buckley's liquid cough medicine.
Yeah.
Terrify the cough.
Yeah, exactly. It's like... The magical component is that the virus burns away
yeah.
in the jalapeno oil you've just drank. Ooh.
Well, I know my grandmother, when we were little, we might have talked about this before, used to give us whiskey and honey mixed right. together.
My mother still swears whiskey helps cure everything.
And even if it doesn't help cure you, when you're a little you kid, don't you go care. To sleep. It gives you symptom relief. Yeah. And really, what is ibuprofen
exactly.
or any of those? They don't cure it.
That's the other one. Karen made me take oregano oil for a while.
Yeah,
and it's like, you know what? After you take oregano oil, it doesn't matter how you feel. You feel better than you felt a moment ago.
Yeah.
And at that point, your body will just fake it so you don't have to take more oregano oil. It's like, you know, I don't have a cold anymore. It's gone.
Yeah.
A big thing that we sort of, Karen has embraced with cold season, don't suppress it. Don't suppress your cold and cough. Get it out. You got to cough it in. Hack up that shit. Get the phlegm and mucus out of you. So yeah, we
purging the demons.
Yeah, pretty much. But we stop taking cough suppressants. It hurts a little bit, but it gets out of your body so much faster. I don't know if that's science or spirituality.
Wear my mask. I mean, knock on everything. Haven't had a cold or a cough for a long time.
Atticus brought home RSV from school. And that was miserable at the beginning of November. I'd say it probably put us on our arses for 2 weeks.
Yes, I remember that.
Yeah, it was miserable. And yeah, it was just because he went to school with some other kid that was sick and picked it up and brought it home. And
well, I did see a meme or something of, you know, parents or caretakers of small children, if they offer you a snack, whether it's a cheesy or a Cheerio, don't take it because really it's the flu.
Yeah. So back on to the spiritual side of this, though, there's lots of things you can do in your spiritual practice that will make you healthier, especially in a mental sense. Meditation.
Yep, for sure.
Meditation is not something I'm very good at, but it is definitely one of those things I strive to be better at. It's something I want to do more of. I like meditating into a fire. Not great with voices.
I love a guided meditation.
I do too, but it depends on the voice.
Absolutely, 100%.
Absolutely depends on the voice.
Yeah. But meditation, just relax. Get in nature. Just go out in the woods. You don't feel good? Go out. Go out in the woods. Like, your mental health is the key to your physical body being healthy. If you're miserable, go out in the woods.
Yeah,
go get some fresh air.
And I did not get out in the woods at all? Question mark. This past summer?
Yeah.
You were in healing mode.
You had a knee replacement.
But what you're saying is you felt that. You felt not getting out to the woods.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Definitely. Now, I did get out, like, just sit in the backyard under the canopy and listening to the birds and stuff whenever I could.
Well, you know what? I noticed, and because my partner in crime in camping, he's got a casty sort of thing on his ankle, and I've got my back is hurt, my lower back. So we started camping with cots.
Yeah.
It's glamorous camping. I noticed the difference not sleeping on that air mattress on the ground.
Oh, yeah. No, air mattresses are terrible.
No. I mean, I didn't feel as refreshed.
When
you're on the air mattress, and I'm fine with an air mattress, it was getting up and out of my little tent that's this high that was the problem. And I really noticed not sleeping on the ground. I didn't feel as spiritually refreshed.
That's fair.
As I did it, you know, as on
air mattresses.
Because
we all know if air
mattresses
deflate and you eventually end up on the ground
I don't mind. And it wasn't the air mattress. That's no problem. It was crawling in and out of my tent that's 2.5 feet tall.
And getting up
tall.
Off the ground. Because at this point, with my wonky knees, once I'm on the ground, that's it.
Okay. You got a fairly big tent. You get yourself caught.
I might think about that.
Oh, we switched to a cot about 2 or 3 years ago.
Yeah.
I'll never go back.
It's convenient, but I don't feel as spiritually refreshed because I'm not.
Just go lay on the ground somewhere. Especially in the summer.
Yeah, I'll go lay on an anthill.
There you go. Then you'll feel connected.
Feel connected.
But yeah, so to me, it's all about the big picture. You personally have to be mentally sound. And it's okay to be depressed.
And I was very lucky about, I don't know, 20 years ago now, maybe? My psychiatrist I had at the time. I started noticing things in her office because and I was very open with her about my paganism,
yeah,
and my practice and my spirituality, because I was working at Little Mysteries at the time as well. Kind so it was such a huge part mm-hmm. of my life. And then I started realizing, you know, she has a goddess statue over there and she's wearing a goddess pentacle necklace. So she really, like, we discussed how she felt my spirituality and my path was as important, if not more important, than the work her and I did together. The work that I did on my path was equally valid and important towards mm-hmm. my healing. And she saw, rather than viewing my spirituality as part of my psychosis, she really viewed it as an important tool in my healing. That was amazing. She was the most fantastic. I was devastated when she fired me.
Well, no, for those people who have found a path, to take that path and to take that practice away, well, if you become spiritually and spiritually bereft, you become emotionally bereft, and then you get physically sick.
Yeah.
I got some bad news a couple weeks ago about someone close to me who is terminally ill. And when I'm in a bad state, I resisted for many years because I thought I should have been stronger than that. One of those, I'm stronger than this. But when I finally gave in to, okay, I'm in a bad state, tacky as it may be, get yourself on YouTube, find a 10-minute morning meditation, find a 5 or 10 minute midday meditation, find one for the evening. And if you have to go, maybe 30 minutes you would spend for the whole day, 10 minutes at a time, to settle yourself down and center yourself, you're going to feel much better in the day, because of course your aches and your pains and your headaches and your everything start when you're upset.
Agreed.
So, you know, really don't, like, I've gone through many that I went, oh God, no, I can't listen to this again.
Oh yeah, yeah.
But then you find ones that are like, oh, I feel refreshed and I feel calmer and centered. And if you can do that, even a 5 minute one, just to, because sometimes lately, just to sit down and draw a deep breath has been difficult for me. So to get a little meditation that's like in and out, just telling you, helping you through that, it has helped. It has helped keep me a little more on my rocker.
It's the little things. Like, so a big thing for us over the holidays, we have a big fireplace. We don't use it very often. But over the holidays, I tried my best to have a bloody log in that thing from the 24th to the 1st. It was amazing. Felt so much better having a little fire in my home.
I would love
going
that.
All of the time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It was just nice to be near it, to hear it, and feel it.
And it gives off that slight wood smoke smell, which
perfect.
Makes you think of camping and outside.
and all that.
Yes.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Talked a little bit about, like, the physical getting out of the woods. And some people may say the cultural appropriation thing, do yoga.
What are you talking about, cultural appropriation?
Oh, it's a thing. People will say that as white people, we're just appropriating yoga.
That's a bunch of...
I know, but that's not what we're talking about. Anyway, the point of the conversation is that
the whole planet is covered with trees.
No culture owns moving your body. And sometimes it just involves moving your body.
And also... something else, again, from that self-compassion course I took, savoring. I don't know if we talked about this on the program before, about using all 5 senses to savor, whether it's when you're eating, which I do sometimes, but I find I have a terrible time falling asleep, just awful, which means I have a terrible time waking up in the morning. So if I don't fall asleep until 3, 4, 5 o'clock, and then I have to get up at 7 to go to work, I'm dragging my ass out of bed.
Yeah.
Since I've started this, I find I fall asleep and it's easier to get up. Like, I'm not cranky and whining and angry that I have to wake up in the mornings.
Right.
Now, and it's, you, when I'm using it to fall asleep, it's see, hear.
You're going to be on the podcast.
Now I'm forgetting.
Smell, taste, or the senses.
Touch. Yeah.
Are you asking what the five senses are?
But I'm trying to think of what order it is. So it's when I'm in bed, I will close my eyes, so I can't actually see anything, but I'll be able to sort of see my room and what I'm looking at. And right. What do I hear? I hear my breathing. I hear the fan. I hear the cat snoring. Smell, what am I smelling? Whether it's, you know, the laundry that I just did, or I don't know, flowers on my bedside, which I often have. Touch, are my legs okay and comfortable? Are my shoulders good? Can I feel the cat on
me? You're more aware of what you're doing, yeah.
And taste, you know, whether or not it's the drink of mead I had before I went to bed. Yeah. And you just keep focusing on those things rather than letting your brain go off into the hamster wheel that it always does. If I just bring myself back to that, I find I'm asleep in like a half an hour.
Nice.
And that's just the wildest thing to me. Like, all these different things I have tried my whole life to fall asleep, including close my eyes.
I was about to say bring that up, but, you know.
Well, if you haven't listened to past episodes, Margot had to realize growing up, she had to close her eyes to fall asleep.
Not growing up, in adulthood.
In adulthood. I mean, for how many years have I told people I lie there and stare at the ceiling until I fall asleep? And no one has ever said, close your eyes.
Well, when you said I lay there and stare at the ceiling, I thought you were speaking sort of
metaphorically.
You know, when you say, oh, I just laid there and stared at the ceiling, you aren't really. You're laying there. Me, I'm laying there with my eyes closed. I'm just not falling asleep. But you know, what you're saying is a really good thing to do if you're having an anxious day or you're worried about something. I've done this one. Just to snap my mind out of whatever I'm doing. It's like, okay, look around the room. What do I see that's green? What do I see that's red? What do I see that's yellow? Just to snap my head back into where I am. So that's a really good one to remember. Like, okay, what does the material of my pants feel like? You know, what can I smell? That's a really good one to bring you back when you're anxious and you can't
focus.
And
it's a good savoring practice too, whenever you want to just slow down. Like if you're, you know, eating your lunch and just stuffing it in your face so fast so you can get on to whatever it is the rest
because
of your
retail.
Day. Because retail. Slow down. And just, you know, I had sushi today. So what does it look like? It was bright and colorful. And what does it smell like? Well, it's veggies, so
the Ram Dass, right? Be here now.
Yes.
Be here now.
So it's that big part of mindfulness. And that's very interesting. I'm going to remember that, Mark.
I'm going to be the flake in the room. Mm-hmm. I'm going to push it a little further. I can remember in the 80s out of Ivy League schools talk about the power of prayer in healing.
Yes.
And physical health and how it made a difference. And there was back and forth about process and scientific method and they refined it. But they almost consistently found, and of course this is the stuff I'm reading because I'm interested, that it didn't matter who the deity was, but if there was a prayer made to a deity on behalf of somebody else, there was an effect in the healing. And they did double blind. They had people praying for people they didn't know. They had people being prayed for that didn't know they were being prayed for. All sorts of variations. And they still seem to have positive results with the power of prayer, which is spell work,
that's just what I was going to say. Spell work is prayer. That's basically what it is.
And,
yeah.
And saying that now, you know, say that was in the 80s, 20 years later, affirmation.
40?
No. I mean, come like 2000-ish.
Okay. Okay.
I mean, come 2000-ish. 2000-ish. the most atheist psychiatrist will tell you positive affirmations.
Yeah.
And people think, oh, you know, fake it till it's real. But look at Dr. Emoto's work.
And now, at the same time, we're not talking about toxic positivity here.
No.
Oh, no.
Toxic positivity is a different thing. But believing and being positive about situations.
And that's, I think, helps. One of the things is you have to believe it. So a lot of affirmations with health and those sorts of things, I'd be like, my mind would be second guessing it. But I found a way to word it that it was supportive, and it would be, every day I am feeling better. Every day I'm feeling stronger. Every day. Because then you could have those incremental. Whereas if you say, I am strong, and, you know, your knees give out, you're like, fuck. Mm-hmm. No, I'm not. Yeah. You know, but if you can word things and find things, and there's been lots of work, like Maeve was talking about, I think of Lynn McTaggart's work, and she's been working, it's got to be a couple of decades now, and she has several books about the value of intentional practices in healing, and she does worldwide experiments, lots of data. But one book I can recommend is The Power of Eight, and it is about
The Power of Pardon?
Eight. So it is about how one person, you can affect a difference if you set powerful intentions and you spend some time on your own personal healing by setting an intention for yourself. But if you work in small groups and you just spend, okay, today we're going to do 10 minutes on you. And she said these practices are never more than, you know, 10 minutes out of somebody's day, and the next day it's somebody else. But if everybody does that, that communal work, you don't have to be, you can be in different areas, you can be whatever, you can be on Zoom. And they carried on over COVID, these experiments. So she's got some longstanding, both in the amount of time she's been doing these kinds of experiments, and as well as the numbers she could, because of her following. And so that's very interesting. And I think another book that I might recommend is Dean Radin, which is a book, one of his most recent books is called Real Magic. He's a parapsychologist. I'm trying to think. I can't say the word right. But he doesn't think of magic. You know, he thinks of it as side effects and just something that we haven't learned about. But he wasn't coming at it from the magic end. But when he changed his terminology in the last book, and they did some healing things. They did some healing things using poppets. So where you would give a massage, or you would rub the temples of a poppet, and that poppet was representative of somebody, they found results.
It's like distance healing with Reiki.
Exactly.
Same thing.
And often distance healers will use a stand-in of some sort, right? Mm-hmm. So I guess it is poppet work in a sense. You're right. We came at it from it's a complementary, and this still is all complementary, of course, to allopathic methods of healing. But do not discount both connecting with the divinity or with each other. We're in relationship, no matter what you call, and the more you strengthen those relationships, the stronger you are.
Well, I definitely would not have managed to come this far without the relationships in my life and my spiritual path.
Absolutely.
Like, that's a really good point.
You know, yeah. I would not be where I am.
They're
right
not
now.
A pill that takes that.
Oh, absolutely. No. Yeah. No, absolutely not. I mean, the fact that I am sitting here living.
Maybe.
But then I wouldn't be able to sit here and participate.
Yeah, yeah.
But the fact that I'm sitting, living, breathing, participating, contributing, would not have, like, I have zero doubt, without my spiritual path and the relationships and connections that I've made through that, I would not be here.
I actually, through one or two periods of my life, I probably just would have stopped breathing one day.
Well,
I really wouldn't be here. I wouldn't, because sometimes you stop and think. I remember just immediately after my divorce, and you're in so much misery and whatnot, and it's like, I do not know how my heart keeps beating every day. Yeah. I do not know why my brain hasn't short-circuited from the misery that I feel. I honestly, and so, but you know, you have your spirituality to comfort you and to help you along, and makes a huge difference. I can't imagine if it was gone.
Yeah.
I truly can't. And this is just me, and I'm not proselytizing in any way, but I think people, because they grew up in a particular, you know, maybe a very stringent religion or something, I think people are very spiritually bereft.
Agreed.
And they almost, no religion.
I mean, and not that you can't have a great life, But some people are just...
They feel the lack of it without having a word to describe
is how I was feeling before I found paganism.
Yeah. And I think there's probably a lot of them are really in debt. Now, trying to soothe themselves.
Keep in mind, we often use the word religion and spirituality.
Interchangeably. But spirituality.
Because
at my absolute worst, I could sit down and maybe try to settle myself or speak to my spirit guide or some of my spirit family when I was lonely and miserable, and they were there. When, you know, you're sitting in you're in your bed at night and you're completely alone and you're crying yourself to sleep. It's like, no, they could, you know, if I could calm down enough to get to them.
Yeah.
It was a lot of comfort to me.
Yeah.
A lot of comfort.
So basically what we've come down to here is that it's a balance. Balance between the mundane stuff, which is boring and uninteresting, but it's necessary. You have to go get your x-ray. You have to go get your vaccine.
Oh, yes.
You gotta see your doctor.
Got my
iron infusion.
You have to do that stuff.
Yeah.
But on top of that, you have to keep yourself mentally healthy, and that's where the spirituality comes in. So we've discussed a lot what we could do for ourselves, not to get too far off topic, but slightly. What are some gods and goddesses you guys can think of when it comes to healing and health? Like for me, it's Bridget.
Mm-hmm.
Bridget's my big one.
It's interesting that you say that, because a while back I was with some ladies and we were talking about comfort. Because to me, if I feel comforted, then I can start to feel better. Because when Gwen was saying, I am strong, you know, this, because that, you know, I am feeling better every day. Or sometimes for me, it was, I'm going to make it. I will manage. It will come. All will be well, as opposed to, the really strong ones that really help. So I was with a bunch of ladies and I was saying, you know, there are just days when, you know, I'm twice my mother's size, maybe more. And you just want to be like a 5-year-old, maybe crawl in your mother's lap, right? Or something. So we were saying we need to find mother goddesses. And so, because, you know, I can't sit in my mother's lap anymore and I'm in charge of everything and I'm the head of my household or whatever the case might be. There's no one to share the load with. But sometimes I would just like to be comforted.
Yep.
And so some of the ladies looked at different goddesses and, you know, examined it and this and that. And the one that came to me, I go to her, and I was very surprised because she's kind of, at first I thought, what? Why isn't she some obscure, really bizarre thing? But no, it was Demeter. So when I'm not feeling well mentally or physically, remember when you were a little kid, you scraped your knee, you went to mom, she held you and kissed it, and you know, that helped you. So to me, I go to Demeter for comfort when I'm feeling ill or down.
I think that she is who I also think of. Yeah. Because I can actually remember the last time as a young adult, even being so sick and vomiting and not being able to stop phoning my mom to come to my apartment to look after me because I just didn't know what else to do. Yeah. So having that mothering comfort, which my mother was not a soft mothering comfort kind of person. She was more a practical, let's take care of the situation, that kind of,
Athena as opposed to Demeter.
100%. 100%.
Fair and strong and balanced and everything, but...
And problem solving.
Problem solving.
But as far as the, they're there now, not a lot of that.
No.
but we do need it.
We do need it.
And we're also getting to the age where some of us, our mothers are passed on, or there is a lot of people who didn't have that kind of relationship with their mother.
Yeah.
Things like that. And it's obviously, when people say, oh, my father was cruel to me or my mother was cold, it obviously has a long-term effect on your person and your psyche. It truly does. So if you were someone who maybe your mother is gone, or your father, because there's the father God thing too, that's a whole nother story. If they're gone from you or you never had it, if you can find that mother goddess for yourself, I think it could not only help heal the wounds of childhood and the rejection you felt from your mother, but it can also help you now. right. to get back. You know, I can't sit in my mother's lap. I am literally twice her size. I cannot. I could sit next to her and she could put her arm around me. But it's
you could
not
lie down
same.
And put your head in her lap.
But she doesn't live right, you know, here and all that too, right? And, you know,
maybe we need to have a put your head in my lap circle someday.
A comforting circle.
A comforting circle.
Sideline. I was at, where was I? Was I at Rainbow or The Gathering or something? And there was this couple there. Yeah, I didn't know her too well, but I knew him. And I said, you know, I said, I remember, you know, since I've been divorced these past 10 years and I don't date or anything like that. And I said, I will admit that it's, and my daughter is older and not cuddling with me like she did, I've become touch starved. And I said, and it's very strange to me, especially when a man, you know, oh, hi, you know, honey, how you doing? I haven't seen you. Give me a hug. And they said to me, they said, look, you want to come over? We'll sit on the couch with you and hold your hand and put our arm around you. And you want to come over and watch a movie? We'll do that. And, you know, I deeply regret not taking them up on that. Yeah. And it wasn't anything, oh, we're going to have a threesome. It was just, come on over. Yeah, you can sit between us and you can lean on him and I'll hold your hand and or vice versa. And, you know, I deeply regret not taking them up.
Well, now you got to find them.
They've broken up since then.
No.
So, a couple years ago. Anyway, that was my sideline.
A kind of a way to sort of close the episode is to acknowledge that our world is literally on fucking fire.
Yeah.
Everything
don't
is
read
shit.
Nostradamus's predictions for 2023 for the love of God.
Everything is on fire. The economy is shit. Grocery stores are garbage. Government's shit. Blah, 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 blah. So.
And that doesn't matter where you live.
Yeah.
Yes.
Everybody.
This is not Canada. This is just the
everywhere.
World. Global
and that
view.
Is, you were talking about nurses driving over here and you had said, oh, a nurse came back from BC and she had said, yeah, everything out there sucks too.
Yeah,
it's everywhere. Mm-hmm. So while we live in our world where historical events happen every other week, you have to take care of yourself. And that's really important. And if that involves you finding your spiritual path and diving into it, so be it. Awesome. Good on you.
And community support, I think, is a really great part of that as well.
Yeah.
Even though as a Taurus, I have massive difficulty reaching out and asking for help.
Well, I don't need help. But I'm willing to help you because then it makes me look
I have no problem bossing people to go get help. I'll help you find the help. Just do as I say.
Well, actually, that's a really good point. So this holiday season, like everyone around me was miserable, but I was happy as a clam.
A great holiday season because I slept.
Yeah.
I had, out of 10 days, I had 9.5 of those days off, and I slept the whole time.
Nice.
And
how
actually,
did you manage to get all that off? Wow.
We were closed.
Yeah. A lot of places were closed over the week.
Yeah. And actually, when I was getting the iron infusion, the nurses were asking me how my holiday was, and I told them I just slept the whole time. It was great. And they're like, by yourself? Like you had no one to take care of? I'm like, nope, I live by myself and I have my cat and I just slept and ate whatever I wanted and it was fantastic. And at first they were kind of shocked and then they really thought about it.
The
and
amount
you could,
of self-indulgence it would take.
They, in, you could really see the discovery in their eyes of, wow, wouldn't that be fantastic? And that's actually... again, part of the whole self-healing thing. Mm-hmm. I did not for one second feel like I should be doing laundry. I should be doing dishes. I should be doing this. I should be doing that. I knew this is what my body needed to heal at this time to prepare me for what's coming up next.
Yeah.
That there was no guilt. There was no... self-reprimanding talk. It was the most glorious, freest. I accomplished what I needed to accomplish and it was fantastic.
That's amazing because I find for me to relax and maybe nap, I have to leave my, because I'm always thinking the laundry, this needs washing, that needs, I have to go to my parents or something and like
get away.
I have to get away because I'll be thinking, oh goodness, I could be doing that. And you know what? I should really empty out those cupboards and wash them. And
that's how,
and there's someone to feed, and there's someone, but if I leave,
see,
and I don't think of it.
I did laundry last night for the first time since I moved home in September.
Oh, wow.
That's how many clothes I have.
Another form of self-healing.
Exactly.
Not
self-care.
Doing the laundry.
Or just owning a lot of clothing.
Well, it just, and it was the first time I felt strong enough,
yeah,
both in my knees and in my shoulders, to be able to carry the laundry.
Three sets of stairs.
Yeah.
Well, call me next time. I'll carry your laundry. But you had enough clothes for 4 months. Forget it. Don't call me.
Yeah. She's fine.
I'll just be jealous.
Yeah.
I think a good thing I wanted to bring up that I haven't heard is maybe a spiritual practice that's easy to start where you are right now that contributes to your ongoing health. Mental, emotional, spiritual, and physical would be a gratitude practice.
Yeah.
At some point every day, think about those things. Feel about those things that you are grateful
I
for.
I still have that fabulous jar with my little altar in my kitchen.
Oh, that's
and I
lovely.
Haven't, but I haven't started it.
You haven't started it.
I haven't
it.
Done it. So, you know what? This is the cue right now for me to start it today, yeah. January 3rd.
There we go.
I'm going to start my
that gratitude.
Gratitude.
Journey.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
There you go.
Yeah.
One thing that I have started, starting with the new year, or maybe I'm on day five or six at this point, is because I'm always so flippant tense and overwhelmed by things, you know, the last little while, to sit down and just say, like, just three times a day, even if it's just one line, to say, I am open to receiving.
Oh, wonderful.
Because I'm so, you get so closed off.
I agree.
Because you're so tense, or you're so worried, or you've got so much to do.
Or and you're focused on all the mundane stuff.
Things, yeah. Yes. And yeah. As someone who has students in her house and is constantly cooking and doing people's laundry and things like that, I'm open to receive kindness. I'm open to receive, you know, caring. I'm open to receive, you know, whatever you might. I'm
That's
open to
beautiful.
Receive courage. I'm open to not being afraid anymore. I'm open to, you know, whatever.
Whatever you want to.
Because when you're tense, you got your barriers up and things are not coming to you like they should. Yeah. So I've started doing that.
That's lovely.
And meditating three times, you know, little 5-minute meditations three times a day. And I'm keeping her. I got a dull roar going on right
That's
now.
Beautiful.
And, you know, I wasn't taking proper care of myself like that for quite a bit. You know, for months, and now
right.
I realize that I got, and people say, oh, it's, you're weak, it's a crutch. So what? Give me crutches, and I'll be going down the street.
Look,
it's
if it wasn't cool. for crutches, I certainly wouldn't be here.
Crutches are just a tool.
Yep.
That's
yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
Right.
No shame.
No.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
Crawling around on your forearms is not fun.
No.
No.
When I first came home with my two broken legs, we lived in a 2-story house with the bathroom on the second floor.
Oh, right. My goodness.
So I got very good at hauling myself up the stairs on my butt backwards and then sliding back down.
Right.
Got very good at that. So I had strong arms at, you know, 11.
Well, thank you, everybody, for tuning in with us. And I hope everyone is going to be having a great new year, and hope you've been having a great month of January so far. I hope wherever you are, it's not snowing here, which is disappointing in a little bit of a way. But thank you very much. If you have any comments or suggestions, you can certainly get a hold of us on our Facebook page.
Three Witches and a Druid Podcast would like to take a moment to shout out to our amazing Patreon supporters from all around the world. Without your generous contributions, now and over the past 2 seasons, we could not bring you this magical content, and we thank you once again for listening.
Until next time, everybody, merry meet.
Merry heart.
And merry meet again.
Blessed be.
This has been Three Witches and a Druid Podcast. Thanks for listening.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.